Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. The Brain Massage Show is ready to go. Get ready. Your brain is about to get a massage.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Folks, our hearts are saddened with and for the Limon family at the news of Javier's murder. Yeah, they've decided the body found near the entrance of Guadalupe Beach was a victim of homicide. We will pray that the murderer or murderers will soon be apprehended and face justice. It is difficult moving from a story like that to other news. One of the cold, hard realities of life is that life does go on. It's hard sometimes to help a family stay focused on that fact, that all the survivors surrounding a loss like this must go on. It's easy to get stuck there in that one awful moment and forget you've got children, grandchildren, friends, neighbors, and a life to live. And many of those around you need to look forward and move forward. We cannot allow the children, for example, deprived of their father in this case, if he had children, I assume he did, to lose also their mother or grandparents and so on. Why does the sun go on shining? Well, it goes on shining for the children who are still making their trek through this life under the sun. Of course, we don't know the particulars. All that will come out in time. Okay, folks, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Cold abstraction, fleshless skeleton, mother, father, mate of death. About the mid-1800s, I think maybe perhaps late 1800s, Charlotte Bronte, describing solitude, describes Obama. Fitting, since he is a solitary man, not of the kind that Neil sang about back in 66, but another kind of solitary man, a man who acts alone, who stands apart from the rest, who withdraws from all of us, and even from himself, I think, hiding whoever he really is from everyone, including himself. It takes a lot of golf, 186 rounds to date, to stay aloof from one's disappointing past, with its finger-pointing, chiding reminders of his inadequacies, his flunked past, his flunking present. I mean, if only he can succeed at something, perhaps golf, so our commander-in-chief opts to be golfer-in-chief instead. As Bronte described solitude, she described Obama, cold abstraction, fleshless skeleton, mother, father, mate of death. ISIS, desiring to send a message to America, takes hostage a journalist and beheads him on video. James Foley was forced to read some anti-American rant, and then the cowards cut off his head. He read this, quote, "I call on my friends, family, and loved ones to rise up against my real killers, the U.S. government, for what will happen to me is only a result of their complacency and criminality," end quote. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't threaten his family if he didn't read this. I mean, he had to know what they were going to do after he did. In fact, it's implicit in the statement. Then another American prisoner is depicted on this video with his name there in a label, Stephen Joel Sotloff, I believe, appearing on the screen, while the masked Muslim who just beheaded Foley issues this warning addressed to Obama, quote, "The life of this American citizen, Obama, depends on your next decision," end quote. Now, Obama was interrupted from his 187th round of golf. Maybe it's in the 90s, 190s already. And that's just since he became president, alleged, you know. To speak of the beheading of freelance journalist Foley and this threat from ISIS, he dispassionately declares his incredulity, his inability to believe this sort of thing actually goes on in the world in which he lives. Offering his denunciations in that characteristically detached, unruffled, unperturbed, Sinatra-esque manner. And then, rather than go immediately to the Situation Room or even to his Oval Office, you know, with rolled up sleeves, a determination to do something about this, respond to it appropriately. In other words, it kind of intrigued me when I compare the effort that went forward to get Bergdahl released to that then went forward to try to secure the release of this journalist. Just sort of intrigues me, you know? Bergdahl's dad went for the first choice when confronted with Islam. Yeah, there are three choices you get. You know, you either convert, submit, or accept the dhimmitude, which usually involves paying a sort of infidel tax, you know, if you will, and often also includes other tokens of virtual slavery to Muslims, a sort of class structure in which dhimmis are treated similarly to how blacks were treated during and for a while after slavery. Anyway, Bergdahl's dad chose first option. He converted, along with his son, perhaps in order to secure his son's release, or maybe because he really is a traitor after all. Obama rewarded this wise decision, this wise choice. But my guess is that the Foleys would not convert or in any other way bow to Islam. And maybe that's why their, you know, pleas for help were ignored. Is it because they're Christians, Obama? Is that why, after you made your perfunctory speech, you turned around and returned to your golf game? What if it were your son or your daughter that just had his or her head cut off? Would you make some bland, virtually meaningless statements about the brutality of some people and then go back and finish your golf game? You leave the Foleys suffering the outrageous shock of this inhumane brutality, and then you go play golf. Why does the sun go on shining? You know, getting some perspective here. You seemed to have more passion about the white cop killing of an unarmed black man. Is that the difference? Foley was the wrong color. Or when Trayvon Martin was killed, you took that one personally. You talked about Trayvon being like you, you know, personally identify with him and all that. But you can't identify with the brutal murder of a white guy? Are you really nothing but a racist after all, a bigoted, petty little man with no soul in common with humanity in general? Are you nothing but the cold abstraction of a man, a feckless skeleton without warmth of human heart? You know, just bones mysteriously animated by whatever magic moved those skeletons in Greek mythology to attack Jason and his Argonauts. Only in your case, they're moved to pick up a golf club and swing it about mechanically, machine-like, heartless, heedless, and virtually headless, too, if you think about it, because only a very dull fellow would fail to see the horrific optics of this. An American was just beheaded by a brutal enemy. Now, well, let's not let it ruin our vacation. That's what Dreyfus said in his character in What About Bob, you know, when he thought his patient had committed suicide. Oh, well, let's not let it ruin our vacation. Back to sleep. Mercy. And while a military daughter of two-star General Harold Green was burying her daddy at Arlington Cemetery, where was Obama? Of course. You know where he was at. He was playing golf. And while our ambassador, Christopher Stevens, was being attacked by terrorists, when Obama heard about it, he had a busy day next fundraising in Vegas, so he went to bed. And the point now is this is old behavior. Hey, mainstream media, so many of you are outraged, shocked, dismayed at Obama's apparent lack of humanity displayed in his response to the brutal beheading of one of your own. Where was this outrage when he arrogantly stiffed the Navy SEAL families, or in his latest effrontery when he does not even bother to attend or send at least the VP or Secretary of Defense for heaven's sake? No one went to Arlington to remember this two-star general who was killed in combat. The highest-ranking officer killed in combat since Vietnam, by the way. But when it touches you personally, MSM, then you see it. Now you feel his detached persona and recognize what we've been saying about this guy. Well, I pointed it out from the very beginning. It betrays a heartless man, a cold, calculating, numb-hearted fella. In a recent show, I pointed out that Obama has the psychological profile of a mass murderer. This is a man who could vote against the Born Alive Protection Act. The only one, by the way, the only senator who stood against it. And would state that if his own daughter became pregnant with an unwanted unwanted child, well, he wouldn't want her punished with a baby. What? No, he'd rather have the baby punished in the situation. Okay, let's move toward a close for the first segment. I'll bet you have not heard about the serial murderer recently captured who went on a murdering spree, leaving four dead, four innocent men killed by this self-confessed murderer. Oh, yeah. And he wants everyone to know he did it, and he wants them to know why. Perhaps the reason you have not heard anything about this is that the name of the perpetrator is Ali Muhammad Brown. He committed his murders with a gun, but you haven't heard anyone jumping on this incident as an example of what's wrong with guns. Ali Muhammad Brown is a 29-year-old jihad-headed Muslim who went on a killing spree seeking vengeance for his fellow Muslims everywhere killed by the American military. He considers his actions justified by his reasoning because American soldiers are involved in killing terrorists who are chopping off the heads of men, women, and children and crucifying people just because they're Christians. All because they're Christians who refuse to to Islam. That is, and the word means to submit to Allah, the bloody, brutal desert god of Islam. A partner with that other god, you know, the god of this world the Bible speaks of, the one that blinds men's minds from the glorious light of the gospel. A false god, a usurper, a fiendish sort of devil god, the sort of god like those ancient gods of that region, like Chemosh or Moloch. Those gods that demanded of its worshipers that they be fed with the blood of their children or by virgins to slake their perverse appetites. Muhammad's Allah is served by wrapping children in explosives and chopping off the heads of journalists while hiding behind the skirts of women and children. Maybe some of our Muslim friends are beginning to see just what reputation these jihad-headed Muslim monsters are making for your religion. This nonsense must stop. This brutality, this idea of waging war by targeting the innocent is devilish. We invited Dan Kitchens over to do some estimates for flooring in our home. He brought up the question I've asked so often. Where are the Muslims outraged by this nonsensical behavior who will let their voice be heard loud and clear against? There should be massive demonstrations of outrage against what these people are doing from the Muslims in our communities. But we don't hear a peep. This brutality, this idea of waging war by targeting the innocent is devilish. It's downright satanic. It's Luciferian. Oh, wait. That's the same rationale found in the philosophy of rules for radicals. You know, these jihad-headed radicals over there are really nothing but Saul Alinsky on steroids or militarized. The parallels between the thinking of jihad-headed radical Muslims and Saul Alinsky's community organizers is frightening. A white cop kills a black unarmed kid, and before anyone knows any of the facts, Obama, Holder, and a few of the blacks in the community, incited by many blacks pouring in from Black Panther groups from outside the community, come in and start rioting and looting and chanting, no justice, no peace. And what they mean is, if they don't get the justice they've decided is justice, then they're going to riot and pillage and attack. The irrationality of all of this is exactly the same irrationality we face with radical Islam. Facts don't matter. Truth is irrelevant. With regard to these jihad-headed crazies, what they've done to provoke America to move in and drop bombs on military targets is irrelevant. It doesn't even factor into their thinking, or they can see no connection between their behavior and the reprisals they suffer for that behavior. They see only the missile attack on them and go into the streets screaming, Allahu Akbar, and drumming their tongue, down with America, kill the Americans, crucify another Christian. It's insanity. The same insanity that drives the behavior we're watching in Ferguson right now. So this character, Ali Muhammad Brown, decides to go about killing innocent Americans as payback for the Muslims who have been killed in Iraq and Afghanistan. And he says he just wanted to do his small part for the cause. And that's exactly how these looters justify their behavior. They think they're serving some big cause. But where's Obama? You know, he runs out to make a statement whenever a white cop kills an unarmed black man, but says nothing when a black cop kills an unarmed white boy over there in Utah a while back. And before he knows the facts, you know, before he knows about before he knows that this black kid was something like, 6'4", weighing in at a cool 200 plus pounds. And of course, that doesn't matter, except that this 200 plus pound, 6'4" fella charged the officer, drove him into his police car and pounded his face up pretty good, and then left, and the officer, you know, gets up and says halt and all that, and the guy turns around and charges at him again. And so the officer does what any person would do in a case like that. He unloaded his revolver into the right shoulder of the guy. By the way, autopsy's coming in now. We're getting all the facts. And he hit the shoulder. He was obviously aiming at the shoulder of this fella charging at him, who apparently being hit in the shoulder with several bullets, turned his head down toward the shoulder that was being targeted and got hit in the head with a couple of bullets, I understand. This was no execution style, anything. It was self-defense, pure and simple, with the officer acting, I think, with some restraint indicated so far in an effort to avoid killing the kid, but he turned his head into the fire. None of that matters, though. Who cares? Just like it doesn't matter that Hamas has been pummeling Israel with missiles for months, firing hundreds of missiles in a day into their neighborhoods, threatening the lives of innocent women and children. And so Israel decides, had enough of this, and takes decisive action to stop this nonsense. But Israel is painted as the aggressor and chided for attacking Hamas. Can you believe this? And accused for every innocent killed in this action when Hamas has all of the responsibility for every innocent who dies in this action of self-defense. When will the world community finally get tired of this foolishness and let Israel clean house over there? Now, we should be helping Israel get this done. We should be standing by her, supporting her fully, and sending a message clear to Hamas and ISIS, which is Hamas under another name. At least that's what Netanyahu says, and I think he's in a pretty good position to know. And put an end to this. Netanyahu for president. Yeah. Why not? The natural-born citizen prohibition of the Constitution doesn't matter? Obama's taken care of that. Netanyahu for president. At least he knows who is the enemy. And I believe he has the right idea about the only real solution to this nonsense. You must make it impossible for these groups to wage war. That's all there is to it. You got to surround these rioters and close in on them. And for heaven's sake, man, you know, you pay a $1,000 fine for tossing a piece of paper from your car window. These people need to be dealt with aggressively and seriously. Hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
Have you ever complained against the White House and the House of Congress for despising our laws, showing contempt for our Constitution, and turning their back on our founding values and beliefs? Does it seem the Lord has forsaken the people's houses? And by the way, how's your house doing? Perhaps there is another house you should think about, the house of God, the church, which according to Jesus is the pillar and ground of the truth. He told us not to forsake the house of God. Have you? How long has it been since your family gathered with God's people in His house? God can fix the White House and the House of Congress and your house too. But remember, He begins with His own house. Every great revival has begun with a return to the house of God. God will return to our houses when we return to His. Lighthouse Baptist Church invites you to join us in the house of God this Sunday. Call 805-347-9887 or go to santamarialighthouse.org for more information.
Church is not the place to be trolling for chicks, and it's not a talent show for rockers. So if you want a rock concert, call Ticketmasters. But if you're looking for a church that takes the lordship of Jesus seriously, and you can endure sound doctrine proclaimed straight from the Bible with the preaching that tells it like it is, without fear or compromise, come to the Lighthouse, where we are shining the light of God's truth to help families safely navigate through the moral storms of our day. Call 347-9887 for more information.
Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheinbach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind men's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheinbach. Welcome back. I'm Pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps of the church belfry arch, signaling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. I've been looking into Measure P. Suspicious that it's just another move by America hating God, despising progressives to turn our economy to a third world socialist dictatorship. Har har. Using environmental concerns to justify trampling all over property rights and strangling the economy, keeping America dependent on foreign oil. How's that for a summation? Of course, there are the dupes, those who believe whatever they're told about these things without looking into it and getting the facts. That seems to be systemic in our culture today, reacting sometimes violently without the facts. People react big with little or no knowledge of the facts. People get a basic narrative in their head, you know, big business is all about greed and pursues profits heedless of the planet. And once you get people to buy into the narrative, then whatever you say that supports the narrative or fits that narrative is believed without question. Have you noticed that? Some conservatives fall into this trap and play on it with genuine conservatives. We have a certain narrative regarding liberals, you know, so some conservatives float these outrageous stories and they're believed and then passed on between conservatives as if they're true without checking on them. One thing you can appreciate about the brain masseur is that He always runs down these stories before he brings them to you. So this is not a problem limited to liberals. I just want to point that out. It's a human inclination, partly because we're lazy, partly because we're harried with more to do than most of us have time for anyway, and partly because, well, it's easy to believe the believable. Anyway, I know that some of those who are participating in pushing and promoting Measure P do it because they believe the narrative. They are convinced Big Oil does not care about the environment, but only cares about profits. Therefore, those who are vested in anti-American oil interests, like Obama, remember his deep bow to the Saudi king and his commitment to drive fuel prices as high as he can get them? He wants them at $5 or more per gallon is what he wants. Remember that? Yeah, he has an interest in this thing. Soros, with his interest in Venezuelan and Brazilian oil development, where he got Obama to help him out and give billions of dollars to help Brazil develop offshore oil reserves while forbidding us to do it here and interfering with pipelines, stuff like that. Anyway, you see, these who have a vested interest in restricting America's oil production, they encourage, finance, or otherwise aid and abet these organizations to encourage them in their effort to diminish the oil industry in this country. The fracking business has Russia freaking. They are particularly concerned since it allows the United States access to huge gas reserves that we've discovered that cut into Russia's stronghold in that market. Quote, at the moment, Russia is the largest gas producer. If the IEA, that's the International Energy Agency, is right, it will be overtaken by the U.S. within 2 years. A further point is the financial impact of fracking on the price of oil and gas. The Russian government needs a relatively high oil price to balance its budget. End quote, yeah. So you see, Russia faces financial problems. And, you know, for Russia, what's even more disturbing, with this, they face loss of political clout. It also bothers Saudi interests because it allows access, for example, to the estimated 1,000 years supply of oil and gas reserves in America that could make us entirely independent from Arab oil. Quote, Saudi Prince Al-Waleed has written an open letter to the Saudi oil minister, Ali Al-Naimi, or something like that, saying that fracking was undermining the position of OPEC, end quote. Yeah, he complained that, quote, the world's reliance on OPEC oil, especially the production of Saudi Arabia, is in a clear and continuous decline, end quote. So you see, OPEC is concerned about fracking. Russia is concerned about fracking. They're all freaking out over fracking. Are we surprised, then, that every communist front group here in this country, many of them environmentalists, by the way, is screaming about fracking? Is it a surprise, then, to discover that Matt Damon's recent movie, Promised Land, you know, an anti-fracking propaganda piece? It was funded by Arab oil. Oh, and Matt was so surprised to learn that. That's right. Saudi money was behind the production of that movie. The point is, we already know that socialist operatives are active in America through some of the Soros-funded groups. We know that Saudi oil interests funnel money into our elections to support this anti-fracking movement, and that should concern us. The anti-fracking freak-out hysteria is politically motivated by groups and persons whose interests are not those of America and Americans, but of socialists, Russians, Arabs, foreign interests, are being served by the anti-fracking freak-out. And that makes me wonder what's going on here. However, this does not mean all of the people opposing fracking do it only because they want to protect Arab oil or Russian gas, or that many of them, they don't desire to hurt American interests per se. Some people hear about fracking and they freak out anyway. You talk about drilling a hole deep into the earth and then forcing high-pressure solutions into that hole to break up the rock deep down to release trapped gas and oil reserves. And people easily can be made to imagine the earth's bedrock breaking down, causing huge earthquakes, you see, or releasing things into the water supply, therefore thereby contaminating the water. And of course, this really hasn't happened. At least it's not been proved. It's certainly not the earthquakes. The giant earthquakes haven't happened. And we've been fracking for well over 30 years. However, that's beside the point. The image frightens people. Then you've got the Yoko Onos out there repeating the myth that fracking causes drinking water to get mixed with so much gas it causes it to catch on fire, even as it comes out of the faucet. Scary stuff, folks. Again, the proof that this phenomenon was caused by fracking is lacking. There are other anecdotes used to generate fracking freakout narratives, but at the bottom line, real science concludes It's still being studied and so on, but real science concludes that the risks are minimal while the benefits are enormous. Like any industry that drills holes in the ground or that lays out millions of gallons of pesticides like our farms do and so forth, well, there's some risk and a proper regard for environmental concern is appropriate. But when it comes to fracking, there are state regulations in place already that serve adequately to address those concerns. The measure before us, called Measure P, was drafted by a renowned law firm whose expertise is in the area of advancing the environmentalist agenda in this country. My point is that they're really good at what they do. So when we find language in this law as they've written it that is unclear, that is ambiguous, that is vague, we're disturbed, where our ears perk up, our eyebrows rise, we look more closely because these guys know how to write laws. So why are they writing this law with so many loopholes in it, with so many gaps in the language, so that it can be applied to impose severe restrictions on all oil production? You see, it's not only about fracking. It's an assault on the oil industry generally, causing some of our companies in Santa Maria to believe they will be forced to relocate if this measure is passed. Then we have to believe it was written in open-ended phrasing, ambiguous terms, and vaguely phrased on purpose. And for what purpose do lawyers make their language vague? Well, it's always in order to hide the real purpose of the law. Mark it down. Anytime a lawyer writes a law in vague language, it's because that lawyer is purposely trying to hide his actual intent. Otherwise, they go around and they recircle the issue over and over again and close every gap. Lawyers like vague laws because vague laws encourage litigation. Litigation gets the ka-ching ringing. A group like this one, however, considered to be one of the best in the business of advancing the environmentalist agenda, well, they do it for another reason. They do this in order to allow them to initiate litigation that will restrict oil production generally. In other words, there's no question that this measure is not about fracking. It's about driving the oil companies out of Santa Barbara County, and it's an effort to hide their real agenda behind the cover of something that is easy to get people to feel uneasy about. So that's my take on it. What do you think about it? I'll be addressing environmentalism as a religious movement in a message I plan to preach August the 31st. So be in the services at 6 p.m. on August 31st, and get enlightenment big time. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you let me know you see that they are on. Call and say lights on if you see the lights are on, and we'll ride like Revere and spread the warning. Essentially means you agree with what I'm saying, or you could call and say lights off, which means you reject what I'm saying, strongly disagree with me. So what will it be today, lights on or lights off? Call 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. Leave a message on our listener response hotline. It's a free call to anyone within the continental United States. From outside the country, or for those who prefer it, you may email me by going to our website. And that is thebrainmassageshow.com. Thebrainmassageshow.com, all lowercase, one word, you know the drill. And you'll see a place on the right, if you scroll down a little bit, where you can put in your information and send me as long a message as you like. I love to hear from my audience, so please call me at 1-888-770-8000 or email me by going to thebrainmassageshow.com. If you're in a hurry, you can just call, say lights on, hang up, lights off and hang up, that's fine. But if you will, please leave a message. I'd love to hear from you. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheinbach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind men's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. The Brain Masseur is waiting to massage your brain with scintillating insights.